From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of April, 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. It's USDA Report Day. Coming up, we'll talk about the release of the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate figures from Washington, D.C., and the reaction in Chicago with Wayne Nelson. He's at agmarket.net. And then a bit later in the program, Stephen Platt from Archer Financial Services will join us. He'll discuss just shortly the ethanol market and what he thought he'd see today in those figures from the WASDE and how they differed from his perception. And of course, we'll talk about OPEC and its cut in production and what that means over time for the price of gasoline and crude oil in the United States. And along the way, we'll also check in on the weather forecast today with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates didn't change much today in those S&D tables for wheat. It increased imports by 5 million bushel, decreased feed and residual usage by 25, and that pushed 30 extra million stocks in total into the ending stocks. For wheat, the average farm price at the gate down a dime to $8.90, that from $9 even. The corn changes were slight as well. Ending stocks, frankly, ended unchanged, as did the average farm gate price. It is still $6.60 a bushel. That, of course, for old crop, new crop numbers won't come out until the month of May. The soy complex actually did not change at all. Zero changes on the supply and demand table. Here's how that impacted Chicago. May corn today at 651, three lower. July down 2 3/4 at 627 3/4. December at 559 1/4, 3.5 lower. May beans up a dime at 1497 1/4. July 1471 1/4, 9.5 higher. In November, soybeans at 1314 1/4, up 4.5 cents. The May bean meal up $7.10. The bean oil 41 cents higher. In the soft red winter July, down 6 3/4 at 684. The hard red July at 850, down 8 1/4 cents. Wayne Nelson of AgMarket.net now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. Hi, Wayne. Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Todd.
Well, this morning's USDA report, as we heard the numbers, didn't really mean much, I suppose, at least as it relates to the supply and demand tables. Kind of blasé in Chicago as well.
Yeah, it was leave everything unchanged, not take into effect some of the moves we thought would be related from the last report and carried into this one. And basically along the way, I think we switched to the weather about 30 seconds after the report was out.
So let's do talk a little bit about the weather. Good weather this week, a little rainfall, and then actually pretty open weather next week. What does the market think, and are producers moving in your area?
Seen a lot of anhydrous starting to go on over here. Not much actual tillage. I haven't seen any planters running, but I think in a day or two here we're going to see a little bit of that. And I think, you know, just crazily enough, they're going to be putting beans in instead of corn. It does look like, you know, Purdue and University of Illinois both are saying that early planted beans do produce better. So the first thing we're going to look to get planted over here is probably going to be some beans end of this week, first of next week.
And both universities are leaning that way. Those who'd like to learn more about what the University of Illinois has to say can do that on our website at willag.org. USDA's crop progress report, by the way, did not include the soybean number. Should be in next week. However, it did have a planting figure for corn that was ahead.
Yeah, 3% instead of 2% average. But I think it tells us that, you know, a lot of the corn in the South has been planted. Texas, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, all those were looking for some pretty good numbers along the way and going right along down that area. But, you know, the I-states haven't really hit it yet, and I think that this next week we'll see a little progress, because I think there's going to be, with the anhydrous we see going on here and everything, I think that we will have some corn and beans planted by next week. We generally don't have a bean planted one this early because in the past, there weren't beans planted first, but now they're getting to do a lot of that, Todd. So I think we'll be interested to see how many beans do go on the ground this next week.
Parts of Iowa, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota have been under cover of a pretty thick blanket of snow. That's melting away quickly. Have you been hearing from them that they're worried about flooding, or are they just thinking, well, this is going to go away. We're going to get started here sooner than we expect?
Well, I think all of those things. I think, Todd, that it's very obvious that there's going to be a little flooding if the weather stays as warm. And I think one more shot of snow up in that area, possibly over the weekend coming up here. But we're going to get in to get that ground worked here a lot faster than what they thought. When you were looking at the amount of snow cover that they had, I think we're going to see a little flooding, but I don't think it's going to be the degree that they maybe were considering as such. I think with the warmer weather coming in sooner rather than later, boy, there's a lot less talk of prevent plant in those areas.
I did make note that there's a lot of competition coming out of South America, especially for soybeans. A line of ships from their eastern coast around the Horn of Africa that are headed for parts of Asia, China. A very low price there for soybeans. Does that concern you?
Well, I mean, it always concerns us when we lose our export market, and I think that it's pretty obvious to everybody in the market now that Brazil and China have really become trading partners, and they've worked their way in. They paid for a lot of infrastructure down in Brazil, and they're very much showing us that they would much rather buy from them. You know, I think there's even some discussion on how they will be paid for and whether they can be paid without using the U.S. dollar. Now, the one thing that's a little bit crazy, we thought the last time we saw the real at a higher rate of exchange put out, when they put some out this week, why that caused a lot of movement down in Argentina. And it's not seeming to happen on this time around. They're not anxious to jump on it, I think, because they don't know what they've got in the field and what they have to sell so much. And they want to keep their good stocks that they do have left.
Hey, thank you much. We'll talk with you again in a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Wayne Nelson. He is with AgMarket.net. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 3% of the corn crop around the nation in the 18 primary states has been sown. The rolling five-year average is 2%. On April the 9th, winter wheat was 7% headed. Five-year average there is 4%. The condition of the crop remains poor, with 17 very poor, 20% poor, and 36% in fair, just 27% in the good or excellent categories for the winter wheat condition. Topsoil moisture around the nation is 50% in the adequate level, 17% surplus. Last year, those numbers were 50% and 15%. Now, here are updates from the statisticians in Iowa and Illinois, along with Minnesota.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician. A storm cell brought strong winds and hail to parts of Iowa. Field activities included fertilizer applications and oat seeding. Topsoil moisture condition rated 3% very short, 19% short, 73% adequate, and 5% surplus. 13% of the expected oat crop has been planted. One day ahead of last year, but one day behind the five-year average. Pastures were starting to turn green, although growth was still minimal. Calving continued, and overall, livestock conditions improved with warmer weather. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Brian Gallagher.
This is Steve Parn of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. There were 2.5 days suitable for field work last week. Rain and storms kept operators out of the fields for most of the week, but by the end of the week, a few were able to get some corn in the ground. Temperatures averaged 52.4 degrees across the state, 5 degrees above normal. Precipitation averaged 0.73 inches, just slightly above average. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 6% short, 73% adequate, and 21% surplus. Corn planted reached 1% across the state, ahead of last year and even with the five-year average. Winter wheat headed reached 1%, behind last year's 3% and five-year average of 2%. Winter wheat conditions rated 4% very poor, 6% poor, 26% fair, 46% good, and 18% excellent. The 64% good to excellent rating was above last year's rating of 51% good to excellent. Pasture conditions rated 1% very poor, 3% poor, 36% fair, 44% good, and 16% excellent. The 60% good to excellent is above last year's good to excellent rating of 43%. This has been Steve Parn of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Minnesota had 0.2 days suitable for fieldwork during the week. More storms added to snow-covered fields, and no fieldwork was completed. There are concerns of flooding when the snow melts. No livestock issues were reported. Topsoil moisture supply is rated 4% very short, 7% short, 69% adequate, and 20% surplus. For the USDA NAS, Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest during the growing season. Stephen Platt from Archer Financial Services now joins us on this Tuesday afternoon to check in on the agricultural energies as he does once a month. Hi, Stephen. Thank you for being with us. Since we last talked with you, OPEC, the Saudis particularly, decided that they were going to cut production. I wonder what impact that has had and what impact it might have over time.
Well, certainly that was a big surprise. We came into the weekend thinking there'd be no change. And on Sunday, one day ahead of the planned meeting of the OPEC monitoring committee, it wasn't a full ministerial committee, but just the subcommittee, made that decision to cut production by as much as 1.16 million barrels. With Saudi Arabia indicating a willingness to cut production by as much as 500,000 barrels, Iraq cutting 200,000 barrels, UAE and Kuwait each cutting over 100,000 barrels. This was in addition to the announced cut by Russia back in February of 500,000 barrels per day. Some have suggested that the move was in response to the U.S. not resuming purchases from the SPR. That's certainly debatable, but it was possibly a motivation for their move along with the weak price structure of the market. I think overall, it does tighten up the market once again, provided, and once again, these cuts are voluntary, as stated, and it will certainly be up to price levels on how successful they are in cutting that rate. Most people think it will be below the actual 1.1 announced at this time, and probably more on the order of maybe 700,000 barrels per day. We are in a situation, though, where the Russian supplies have been coming out despite the sanctions. India and China have been buying a lot of the Russian crude that has alleviated some of the expected tightness in Asia. The Arabs have been competing with that crude in a pretty aggressive fashion and have actually suggested that their official prices going into next month are pretty much going to remain the same, and they're going to be providing as much to Asia during that time period as they have here recently. So overall, we're really looking ahead here as factors key to the outlook. One is the interest rate environment. CPI tomorrow will be key to that outlook, along with the pace of the Chinese recovery. Recent inflation data suggests that it has been slow, possibly forcing additional stimulus measures. Russian availability will also be looked at pretty closely. As I've said, the availability has been generally much better than people expected. Summer travel, I think, is going to be a big key, too. I think there's a potential for pent-up demand for helping lead to pretty impressive gains in miles driven this summer, which could help out the gas crack, along with prices overall. U.S. inventory situation has been tightening. Crude stocks have fallen by over 11 million barrels in the past 2 weeks. And we have to watch that pretty closely as well, along with the export levels for U.S. crude, which has been increasing sharply. What's impressive is the growing role in world trade for U.S. Petroleum products and crude. We've basically seen record net exports of crude and products here. And we're now the largest gross exporter of crude and products on a global basis. And when I talk gross, it means basically looking at just our export levels only and not taking into consideration some of the import levels, which have dropped. OPEC and EIA are two reports coming up at the end of this week, Thursday and Friday. Those will have to be watched real closely with respect to both the consumption and production trends established. So from here, I guess my own inclination is that I see the downside risk as somewhat limited to probably around that 75, 77 area on the crude. And the potential really to possibly reach up into the 90 area on crude as we move into summer, when demand probably will outstrip supply on a global basis.
Do you suppose that ethanol usage, as you mentioned, the number of miles driven for the summer, you believe, could be up, will remain good or get better even as they adjust the amount of ethanol in a gallon of gasoline? It does fluctuate, and I don't mean to E15. I mean in that E10 range, so which has been as low as the 8.4 or something like that, but can reach up into that 10.7% range.
I was a little bit surprised that they did not increase the ethanol in this report today, but I do expect it to expand further as we move into summer and some of the new standards are put into effect, which could help out demand for corn and ethanol as well. So I would suspect it will see some increases as we pick up demand and see the at least the level of usage increase as well.
Hey, thank you much.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
You too. Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming now joins us to take a look at the weather forecast. Hi, Don. Thanks for being with us on a Tuesday again.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start in your part of the world. Tell me about this week, what that means for the northwestern Corn Belt and snowpack melt as well.
Yeah, well, last week we were talking about a big blizzard and 2 or 3 feet of snow in some areas. Now we're talking about 70 and 80 degree temperatures in those same areas of the Western High Plains and the Northern Plains. So big snow melt going on right now. And we do have flood advisories and watches in effect for a good portion of North Dakota, Minnesota, northern areas of Wisconsin, and that goes back into part of the Rockies. With these very warm temperatures, creeks, rivers, and streams are definitely going to be on the rise. So that's a weather maker, a 180 from where we were a week ago. Now, there is going to continue to be Pacific weather systems going across the Pacific Northwest and into the northern tier. So along with the melting, there's going to be increasing chances of rain across parts of North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, and that Northwest Corn Belt. It does look like eastern areas of Nebraska, Northwest Iowa, Northeast Kansas, then into Illinois, Northern Missouri, Wisconsin, going to be looking at some pretty good chances of rain coming on in along with those warmer temperatures.
When will that happen?
Well, as we get into the end of the week and the weekend is when we're going to see most of the action. We're going to go through the work week here. Not much going on, but as early as Friday afternoon and Friday night and Saturday morning, those northwestern Corn Belt areas will see areas of showers and thunderstorms, and that'll spread into the Great Lakes and the northern and eastern areas of the Corn Belt as well. But the heavier part of that rain will be in the northwest Corn Belt.
Does it cool temperatures down for the beginning of next week, and do we have sunshine then for the week?
Well, we do see some cooler temperatures for sure on the backside of the system. Now, is it going to be anything that's going to be terribly cold? Doesn't look like it, but we will have a warmer, drier trend behind this system that will probably extend into a good part of next week. So a cooler, wet period coming up, then a warmer, drier period, and then about a week later, guess what? A cooler, wet period again, as the yin and yang of spring will be taking place.
In the Delta region, how much rainfall will they get? They should be deep into planting.
Well, there has been some active weather along the Gulf Coast and some of that Delta areas of the South, and this is going to be true here through the next 5 to 7 days. A lot of the rain, though, is mainly centered on the Gulf Coast, a little bit more towards the interior parts of the South Central and Southeast United States. Not as wet, but still some rains. So there may be some slowdowns due to rain down there.
We tend to kill the wheat crop many times during a growing season. I think we've done that a couple of times over the past several months in Kansas and Oklahoma. Will there be a chance for spring to rejuvenate it?
Well, right now we're not optimistic that it's going to be enough to help. But there is going to be some shower and thunderstorm activity later this week into those areas you just mentioned. And we see some opportunities mid to late next week. But we don't have that one good soaking rain coming for that winter wheat country yet. While there will be some spotty precipitation, it's not the widespread moisture we'd like to see.
Thank you very much. We'll talk with you in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
Don Days with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.